too want to welcome everybody. Thankful to be here and thankful for each one that is here. We have been taught many valuable things that we can take to heart and better ourselves. And that is one of the blessings of sharing with one another and being able to be together here. And I too greet you all in the name of Jesus, because this is the hope that lies in us and the hope that we have for the beyond. This is a very special occasion that will not happen again, and we have been really encouraged to, as one of us among us has left us, so we will all get our turn to leave this time of life. We have to surrender our life and give it back to the Creator. I thought a reading in Mark 1, starting at 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. I was just thinking about how powerful things were happening at that time. Heavens tore apart, open up. And the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus was being obedient to him. He was following his will and the things he was asking him to do. And it says the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with a wild beast, and the angels waited on him. They were taking care of him. I'd kind of forgotten about the wild beast. Sounds dangerous, but that's what our Lord did. He was out there 40 days. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news," or believe in the gospel. What is that gospel we need to believe? What was happening? This is Jesus' beginning of preaching. He was bringing good news. He was bringing the gospel. All the words that came out of Jesus' mouth were from the Father. They pertain to eternal life. It's our only hope. Believe in the good news. Take hold of it. Get it. We heard some of that. Digging out pearls. Jewels. Is it worthwhile? Yeah, let's be encouraged to do that. I was encouraged to do that. Yeah, one of the important things about death is it not the way to life? how else can we have life? If we go on in our selfishness, we will not have life here on earth. If we go on in our being obstinate, we will go on and be proud. And this is the thing we've heard a lot about Sarah, was that she was selfless. We have to die. There has to be a death within us somehow, or we cannot have that life. The life in Jesus, in this side of the grave. And then to enter the glories of the Father in heaven, again, we have to die. And that's the thing we've just experienced of Sarah. She died, but she's now... there's different things I can think about it, but in some ways I think we can imagine of being in paradise or in the bosom of Abraham. Somehow a partaker of that, waiting under the altar. Or then the other, like the rich man, he opened his eyes in hell when he died. He had a good life. He had a sumptuous life. That's about all it says about him. And he had Lazarus at his door, eating the crumbs that were from the dogs. That the dogs missed. He got those crumbs. He opened his eyes in hell. Dying for him was not gain, but for dying for a Christian, there's gain. Great gain. And that's where our hope lies in. So, in 1 Thessalonians 4, I think this kind of fits in here, that starting at 13, but we do not want you uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left, until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Here he brings out the point that we will not get ahead of those that have died. They will ascend first, and then we that are left. This would indicate we might all be alive when Jesus returns. We will not experience this death that people have till now. In the twinkle of an eye, I'm not sure it says that here, but there's this idea it's going to be very quickly. We will be changed. And be at that cry of command, with the archangel's call and with the sound of God's trumpet, we descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I think of it like lightning myself. Like it's just going to be like a quicker than an eye blink. We will not have a chance to say, I'm sorry. We will not have a chance to say, I appreciate you. Or we won't have a chance to make anything right. It's going to be totally too late. When my sister's husband died, he lived like, I think it's 8 weeks, if I remember right, somewhere there. And my sister said something like, she thinks that's the best death, maybe for people. He had some issues in his life, and he seemed like he tried to make everything right he could, because they told him he could live 6 weeks, or he might have 6 weeks. I think he then lived 8 weeks, but we may not get that chance. We may just have to face today. Whatever's in our heart today may be what we have to face. We may not have that chance. She felt like it was a blessing that he had that chance. And God knows all those things. But there's a time when he cannot strive or he cannot work with us any longer. And we come to an end. You cannot always wait on us to repent. I'm not saying that anybody here is that way, but if there's something in our lives that needs to be repented of, today is that day. We may not have tomorrow. There's other things that take us very quickly, like accidents sometimes take us very quickly too. And other things as well. In Psalms 49, there's this, this little verse that I seemed like was such a... When we look at the wise, this is verse 10, when we look at the wise, they die. Fool doth perish, dolt... That's a word I don't understand. Don't perish, D-O-L-T, perish together, and leave their wealth with others. Their graves are their homes forever, and their dwelling place to all generations, though they name lands their own. Mortals cannot abide in their pomp. They are like the animals that perish. Such is the fate of the foolhardy, and the end of those who are pleased with their lot. Like sheep they are appointed for Sheol, death shall be their shepherd. Straight to the grave they descend, and their form shall waste away. Sheol shall be their home. God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. This is before Christ had died. He represents this like, that he would be, for God would ransom him, or would, ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. This would be another one for us. Do not store up for yourself treasures in earth, where moth and rust consume, where the thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. in 2 Corinthians 5, there's a few verses or verse. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Like I said earlier, God doesn't always have the choice of waiting longer on us. He, at the time of the flood, there came a time when he said, man will not allow his spirit to strive with him anymore. And he repented that he created man, and he said he was going to destroy them. However, he found Noah found grace in his sight. And humanity was spared that way. But the point is, there came a day when the floods, the rains came pouring down, and the floods rose up. The wells of the deep were broken open, and that day came. It just came. It was. And that's how our end will be as well. For Sarah, it came. It was her day. And we have good hope for her that she was. I should think about the selflessness or the being selfish, being proud, being arrogant. There's such a difference. Let's be digging those jewels. Oh, John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. So where I am, there you may be also, and you may know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas then said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. There's a place for each one of us somewhere. If we're in Christ, following him, doing his bidding, repenting and believing in his gospel, like we read it there in Mark 1, he will come and he will get us one time or another. So far it's been one at a time, more or less. I mean, sometimes things happen and many people die at one time, but usually it's one at a time. And one by one he gets us. Takes us to the place that's prepared for us. So yeah, there was many things. I appreciate it so far what Dwayne shared, and I hope we can be encouraged to press into that land and that is made without hands so that we can be in that place where it says my Father's house, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. He's gone to prepare a place. So let's Let's press on into the selfless life of Christ. He was not selfish even once that I can think of. I doubt if anybody can. He was selfless. He's our example. He's our way. He's the truth and the way to life. If y'all want to rise, we'll have a prayer again. And our Father in heaven, we ask you to, we thank you for being with us today, and we thank you for blessing us this time of serving you, time of worshiping you, giving our hearts to you, walking your ways and your life. We ask the Holy Spirit to continue working in our hearts to cleanse us from all selfishness and prepare us for eternity, for eternal life. Comfort the ones suffering from this loss and help us rejoice in the hope we have of Sarah going on before with an example of that stretches us to be selfless as well. How she walks in that selfless way to like you, following you. Just working in our hearts. We need your help. We thank you for Jesus and all that he's done. And we pray this in his worthy name. Amen.
So my goal in sharing is to stimulate others to more love and good works for Christ. Of all the many, many things my mother did for me, I believe what has challenged me the most was the prayer and fasting that she offered up to God on behalf of her children, and likely numerous others I never knew of. My mother wasn't necessarily one to pray long prayers, but she was a prompt responder to prayer requests. When she learned of a need for prayer, it was her custom to pause whatever she was doing and gather us together for a quick prayer meeting. She also spent much time reading, seeking God, and searching answers to know truth. She sent me many letters while I was in Bolivia, even though she heard from me very sparsely at times. I also appreciated her taking my sister and me to visit and sing for elderly acquaintances when we were girls. It was a great burden on her heart to see her daughters thriving spiritually, and a sincere longing on her part to see us enjoy loving husbands and bear children. God has answered these her prayers for me, and I am so happy for the godly influence she was for her little grandchildren. She enjoyed them to the fullest. I feel that her many fasting and prayers were richly rewarded, and I hope will continue to be as her children and grandchildren learn to follow and cry out to the same Heavenly Father she trusted in. May the Lord be magnified. Her daughter, Yolanda Landis Malloy.
Thank you all for being here, especially the ones who traveled from a long distance, and good to see a lot of faces I haven't seen in a long time, like this man right here from California. And, just a few thoughts. And, thank you, Brother Dwayne and Walter. Thank you for the young men who came last night. 8 of them came and sang, "Rise up, O man of God." That really was a blessing. Zasha, you know, the 8 men who sang for about an hour, come over to the house and sang, and lifted me up. It was good. I slept one of the first 2 nights. I've slept by myself for several years. Not really. I went to Arizona last year, tried to get that. Didn't work, but it's just a knee injection. But besides that, it's been several years since I've been in the house sleeping by myself. You know, you hear a little noise. What's going on? You know, I don't care. I mean, and little things can worry if you something like that. But yeah, you know, I was just thinking that. He mentioned some, Walter, Brother Walter, when he said something about, all souls are mine, you could say like Psalm 50 perhaps, or Ezekiel 18, none of us own our own body, right? We're all on loan from God. We may think, Norman, you may think you own Maria and your children. You don't. God owns everything. He owns you. And that's why we're going to give an account to that. You know, we think, I own myself, my body, and my wife and children, but it doesn't work like that. And you know that maybe better than me. But part that the last week was very rough week. But first of all, about death, a comment on death. That you know, the world is so oblivious to it. The secular history books, they have no concept. The only truth that we get about death is from God's word. That defines death, what it is. That's the only thing. And it's an enemy of God, and it's an enemy of man. Why is it an enemy of God? Because God is the giver of life, and life is good. Why is it the enemy of man? It's going to make widows and orphans and all sorts of things. But it is an enemy of both God and man, basic thing about death. And, of course, as Brother Dwayne mentioned in his lesson, the wages of sin is the consequence, and he's overcoming it through the blood of Jesus. God be magnified. And anyway, I could mention a lot of things. I don't want to mention people's names, so many people's names, but I just remember for the meals, bringing the meals, her and Esperanza had the thing together. And I remember Sister Carol told me once, you know, it may be too much for her. She's 75 years old, you know, and it would break her heart if I told her, slow down. You got to slow down. You know, she's very industrious and rising the morning to evening. She was always in the go. And I used to tell her, I said, hey, we're going to lights out by 9:30, 10. I got a big day tomorrow at work or something like that. And she would shut the door or go texting at midnight or something. She's always on the go. If I could describe her in one word, it would be industrious. And anyway, the big thing for the last week, she had the anointing. Brother Atlee gave the anointing even before she fainted. And then in the hospital bed up in St. Louis, she said, communion was the highlight of the thing. When Brother Walter and Dwayne had communion for him that Sunday night, she said, she was telling the nurses in the shift, we had communion. So that was a blessing. And it's just, it's been a good week for everybody. I mean, for the people, I can mention the names, you know who they are. I mean, the ones that didn't get any sleep. Oh boy, no sleep. And wow, they just did the things that love in action. The Lord be magnified.
It's so interesting that God is never happy with the death of a sinner. He said he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, that the wicked would turn and repent. And Scripture also says that it's precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints, and it's a beautiful thing to think, because he understands. He is compassionate enough. We have this high priest that understands loss and the sting of death. And this blessed hope, this assurance that we have, that when the grain of wheat falls into the ground, it dies. Sown in being corruptible, but raised up in glory, in corruptness. And one of the beautiful things that the Lord said about God regarding death is that in Luke chapter 20, when the Sadducees are tempting him with that story about the woman that had seven husbands, and they ask him, whose wife would she be? And the answer is amazing, because he mentions Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And everybody, when we think about them, we normally think they're dead men. They died long time ago, but not unto God. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. So may we take it to heart. As Brother Dwayne said, being in the house of mourning, to have something good happen to us today, and having this hope that our sister Sarah is not dead, she's alive. Praise God.